Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to and hopefully enjoy. Joining me today is Juliana.
Hello everyone.
And this will be an SFBRP short.
Yes.
And it'll be our only podcast it has been our only podcast for a while because we have been super busy.
Yes.
With work. And I went on a work trip and then I had another work trip which would slot in between two other work trips and I'm home for 2 days, but my bag didn't make it home, so today I had to drive from Berlin to Hanover and back, which is like 6 hours,
600 kilometers.
Yeah, it's like 600 hours. A 7 hour trip just to pick up my bag. Yeah. So I have it to, and I haven't even taken out the car yet.
Nope.
So my bag hasn't made it home yet
because you fly out again tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. But I thought, well, I read this book. No, you read this book.
I did.
And
I started reading it.
You started reading this Adrian Tchaikovsky novella. And you told me about it. And then it came available for me in the library. And I'm like, great. And you were like, oh, I didn't finish it. And I was like, oh, so you finished it. So we're obviously the only people borrowing it from the Berlin library.
Yeah.
So when, as soon as I finished it, you then finished at the end of it. So
yes.
This is a book from 2021. And it's called One Day All This Will Be Yours.
Yep.
Because it's a quirky novella and quirky novellas have to have quirky names. It can't just be like yeah. whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It has to be, you know, the shorter the story, the longer the name has to be for it to kind of imply it's worth reading.
Yeah.
It's just a little
and
theory.
It plays a lot around with this. It's very much like it feels like a fad of authors titling their books in a certain way.
It
really fits with this.
It's not a fad, it's just the way it works. The funnier the book, the longer the title is allowed to be.
I guess.
And the less serious a book, it's like the shorter, so a short, unserious story can have a very long name.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that it works. You know, like if you want your book to be taken seriously, it has to have a name, you know, like
The Man.
Yeah, like Elder Race, Breaking Day. I just got some other ones here as well. But if you want it to be a funny one, it has to be things like How to Rule an Empire and Get Away with It, A Practical Guide to Conquering the World. This is How You Lose the Time War, you know.
Yeah.
You know, 16... Oh, these are all just other comedy books that I read. Around about the time, which is when we both tried to get to the end of This is How You Lose the Time War.
Yes.
By... Amal El Motar and Max Gladstone. Do you remember this?
Yes, I remember it mostly because I remember how I didn't get into the writing at all.
It's
like
weird.
It wasn't anything. I couldn't get into it.
So my potted review of Adrian Tchaikovsky's One Day All This Will Be Yours is he read This Is How You Lose the Time War.
Yep.
Which is a time travel romance about two people on other different sides of a time war or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that's not how you lose a time war. This is how you this is how you lose the time war. So that's what my review is like people like me and people like you who read This Is How You Lose a Time War and were just bored with the romance and the characters and the writing. And it was like, and this is the thing, my review of that, which I think I must have listened back to more recently because it was a review that we did in 2022, but I know I must have listened back to that review, you know, within the last year or so.
Okay.
It's a bit more fresh in my mind than something from 2022 would be, which is just that book, which should have been the most interesting story in the world, which is two people on either sides of a time war having a Romeo Juliet romance,
and even just that they have a conversation
and that they're having a conversation through time,
really fun.
So, and also one of them is from like a future cyborg robot future world, and the other one is from like a future like biological fairy world or whatever it is. But when you read different stories from each one's point of view, I couldn't tell the characters apart. And it was actually written by two different... Anyway, the whole thing was sort of like, this should be the most interesting characters and the most interesting story in the world.
Yeah, it has so much potential.
So much potential. And I was like, it's wasted on just like this soppy writing. We're like, oh, I can't even imagine how much it would be great for us just to live together in the future. You'll be in a cottage and I'll be there. And the words that I'm reading from you just make it just... And it was just like the most wet, pathetic writing. And neither of us could get into it. And, you know, and then, as I look on the Wikipedia page for this, This Is How You Lose the Time War won the BSFA Award for Best Shorter Fiction, the Nebula Award for Best Novel, the Locus Award for Best Novella. The Nebula Award for Best Novella. These are all novella awards. The Hugo Award for Best Novella, the Aurora Award for Best Short Fiction, the Ignite Award for Best Novella, and was a finalist in the show. You know, so in other words, it just cleaned up on all these awards.
Wow.
And I was like, this book just isn't very good.
Okay.
Like, it's the idea is good, and it felt like someone was like, oh, so this is how you lose the time war. And because it's sort of like, it's got that funny name of This Is How You Lose the Time War, it's like, it means that you're like, oh, don't take it too seriously, but just like enjoy it or whatever. And oh my God, I couldn't get to the end. It was a 4-hour audiobook.
Yeah. I think
I gave up after 2 hours.
I didn't even get that much in. I think I finished even after a few sentences, after a few pages. I couldn't get into it at all. Yeah.
So, Adrian Tchaikovsky obviously read that in 2019.
Obviously, like, yes.
Because, of course, he did, because he's probably part of the British Science Fiction Authors Association or whatever the BSFA is. So he reads that and goes, that's not how you lose the time war. And then he wrote, you know, one day all this will be yours, which is him saying, this is how you lose the time war. Yeah. Because it's about somebody who is at the end of time. He's called it, what is it, the post-apocalyptic. So it's not post-apocalyptic, it's post-apocalyptic, which is, again, any time that he needs, he can just do a funny word play in that way and get away with it. And it's about a guy, don't remember the guy's name, doesn't even matter. And he's there at the end of time because... And as it's explained in like that first third to half of the book is that, well, no, I guess the first little bit of the book is about just like in media res, what's he doing in his day, you know, and his pet runs up and it's an Allosaurus or whatever it is. And somebody else arrives, another time traveler arrives, and you're like, great.
Nice.
This is
he
nice.
He has a companion, and then he has now a
visitor.
Conversation, and then it turns a little
very
bit different.
Very quickly, the time visitor is eaten by the Allosaurus.
Yeah.
Allosaurus, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The dinosaur.
Yeah.
And it turns out the timeline has been messed up so much by people going back in time and not trying to win the time war or the causality war is what it's called here, but they're trying to make it not happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the idea of is instead of going back in time and trying to win a war in advance, you're trying to go back in time and stop the war happening. So it's like this anti-Cold War, hot war in the past. So
it's so on many levels, there's so many meta things that
it's
happen.
It's just so much cleverer than anybody else who's ever written about a time war, where you're like, oh, no, we're not trying to win the time war. We're trying to make sure the time war never happens. And you're like, oh, already that's clever. So anyway, he, and again, the This Is How You Lose the Time War blurb is like, what is it like? I can't remember. It's sort of like the warring factions don't even remember why they're warring. What is it? Sort of like a multiple universe whose timelines are mutually exclusive. So that's the idea, is that they have to make it that their timeline is the one that wins. But again, the whole idea of this red versus blue, which is taken like directly from the cartoon series, the in-game cartoon series, Red versus Blue. It's literally called Red versus Blue.
Oh, okay.
And the whole point
I don't know that.
Well, it's I guess we probably talked about it in the previous episode about this. With
probably.
Red versus Blue is like two sides playing, and it's all recorded within a Halo multiplayer.
Mm.
And it's like captured from the video, captured from the screen, and with people like acting stuff out in the game.
Right.
And the point is that it's red versus blue, that it's like, you don't need to worry about who's the good guy and who's the bad guy, because there are no good guys and bad guys here.
Yeah.
It's just, we'll call one red and one blue, and it's red versus blue.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like bad guys, heroes versus villains, or bad guys versus good guys. It's like just two sides. Anyway, so Adrian Tchaikovsky is playing in a deeper level with this, is that he's sort of like, right, so if that actually happens, what will happen is that the entire timeline will be fucked up and time bombs go off and like rip everything apart to the point where nothing actually happens anymore. So this guy is at the end of time after the final time explosion, and it's like a bottleneck in time, and he's there. He wants to make sure that nobody...
He's like in the cul-de-sac kind
he's
of
in the cul-de-sac
time.
At the end of time. Well, it's not a cul-de-sac, it's like there is more stuff in the future, but he's making sure that nobody ever makes it from anything in the past through that bottleneck to mess up the future. So in the future, there's just one perfect timeline, and he's making sure that that's going to stay there, and that all of the time fuckery goes in the past, and nobody will ever be able to develop time travel again to mess it up worse in the future or in the past.
Right.
So yeah, and And that's it. So anyone who arrives there, he kills. Again, this is giving away like the first small chapter of the book. But it really gets into the point, and this is one of my main points about what I think is so clever here, is that if you actually take this is how you lose the time war at face value with red versus blue, the people there are having a romance while deleting the existences of people and spending their entire lifetime as like military generals killing as many people as possible. Like, it's literally like, I will now write a love letter to you in the blood of my enemy. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it is, you know, all of these things are war scenes. And I'm like, oh, this is like, it's like, you know, you read Player of Games by Ian M. Banks. Mm. And at the end of that, it's not like, oh, this guy's a really cool guy. It's like, no, this guy is like fucked up. And this is like trauma central. And this is like,
all
you know,
the traumas.
Don't ask about the chair. Don't ask about, like, it's like, when you actually look at this kind of stuff, it's really difficult to cast these characters as anything more than complete monsters, sociopaths, psychopaths, where their love for each other is more important than the continued existence of entire worlds or the lives of everyone. Like, nobody looks back and goes, oh yeah, Julius Caesar and Alexander the Great, you know, they're these great men. But what they did is mostly just do lots of murder, you know. And in the modern world, when people start wars with lots of murder, they're not the good guys. It's sort of like, oh, right, these people are our heroes and we will tell love stories. It's like, now let's do a love story about, you know, the daughter of Hitler and the daughter of Stalin, or whatever, you know, whatever it's going to be, you know, like, what are we even doing here? Like, this is a crazy setup here. But yeah, this is how you lose the time war, was all about this, you know, Romeo Juliet love story between these, what I wanted to be the most incredible stories in the world, about these people who are like generals through time and having all these time adventures. But it's all just set up to be like, I love you so much that I can't even breathe by thinking about, and you're like, you haven't even fucked yet, because all you're doing is writing letters to each other. How do you
it's all in your head,
like, how are these letters arriving in a, so Adrian Tchaikovsky is like, right, the people who are going to have a love story through time have to be, like, if they're going to be psychopaths, let's just lean into it.
They're going to be really disturbing.
Yeah, it's going to be really disturbing. But because he's a comedy writer, or you can write comedy and satire in a way where we're, like, just working at a level higher than pretty much anyone else in science fiction and fantasy at the moment, in the style of writing that Adrian Tchaikovsky can do, he leans into that and is just sort of like, all right, what if a psychopath's at the end of the world, and then there's his love interest is another psychopath at the end of the world? What would that lead to if they have time travel, and that they can have a battle through time, bringing people from other parts of time to have, and it's like, oh, this is just really good. It's like really fun to lean into what if psychopaths, but then not have to worry about like, oh no, but these people have to be sympathetic and you have to like them or anything like that. It's like,
it's impossible.
But you like them because it's written by Adrian Tchaikovsky, who's very good at writing.
And his writing style, and also the things he's exploring while he's doing the writing. He's basically, within the short novella, exploring all the conundrums and all the weird things
of time wars and psychopaths.
Time wars and time travel and psychopaths and technology and everything.
Yeah.
And just to put all of that into this novella.
But here's the thing. It couldn't be a novel, because if you spent more time with these people, you don't actually want to spend more time with these
really
people.
Really not.
What you actually want to do is not spend that much time with these people. And I do think, weirdly enough, it does, I think it could have been like 20 or 30 pages longer at the end, because it does end a bit abruptly. And I was I wanted a bit more. Yeah. But actually, he's sort of like, no, we got to the point where these guys, you know,
that's it. All you need to know.
Like, do they live happily ever after or not? But actually, this is the end of this time war.
Also, what is weird about the ebook is that you often like get you get a percentage how far you into a book.
Oh yeah.
And then you keep reading and you know, okay, the,
like 88%
stuff. No, but this is really what happens here. And so I thought, oh, I'm at 88%, so there's more to come. And then I read 2% further,
and it's the end of the book.
And it's the end of, like, what happens?
And then preview other books by Adrian Tchaikovsky, other books in this series, and here's another one over here. So yes, I I agree. That does get you. It a bit of an abrupt ending.
Yeah.
But then you get all the really fun stuff in the book, which is all the timey-wimey stuff. So you go, you know, all you had to do to avoid this is just settle down and have kids. Was that really so terrible? I swear, Weldon, ancestors these days just don't appreciate how hard we had it in the future. And I love time travel books for this kind of, like, what is present tense? What is future tense? What is past tense? What is continuous present tense?
Is it
something that will happen in the future, or is it something that will have had happened in the future? And yeah. Those are two very different things. Will have had and will have happened in the future. Or something in the past will have happened in the future.
Yeah.
You know, all of that kind of stuff.
And then there's this weird thing in the English language that you can say, it will have to... will have had to be happened.
Yes.
It's like, what?
Yeah. All of those things, like, he had to have done it. Yeah, all that. So that's really good. And the other thing that I like about this is because it's like comedy and satire and you can travel through time, Adrian Tchaikovsky, who can just play around with his own history and his own, you know, interests as well. Yeah. So for example, it says, oh yeah, and I went back in, but for the end of the evening, I went back to the mid-90s TGI Friday ice cream cocktail. And I was like, me too, yeah. Because we're the same generation. So in the 90s, you would go to a TGI Fridays and have like the ice cream cocktail because it was like this big, you know, big kind of thing. So if you were a teenager in the 90s or you had a car or you would go out, you would go out to have dinner and go watch a movie or whatever. And mid-90s TGI Fridays ice cream cocktail. I think it says it's Swindon or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's very funny.
He was talking about that. And I was like, yeah, me too.
Yeah. And all the different places he goes to.
Yeah.
And also just like this book is very, very aware of all the time travel books and all the time travel stories that have happened. Like it looks at all of it. The grandfather.
The time machines as well that people arrive in can be time machines
from other books.
Go, oh, this is the H.G. Wells. I mean, it doesn't name it exactly, but
it indicates it knows
what he's doing.
Yeah.
Also, I like it. He goes to Paris and gets all the students in the student uprising to sing One Day More, which is his Les Mis little note there as well.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Another book that I've read recently is one of his fantasy novels, because I wanted to catch up to the fantasy novel that he read.
Adrian Tchaikovsky
wrote last year, which people said was his best novel that he wrote last year.
Yeah.
Two other books were nominated for, you know, Hugo Awards.
Yeah.
And people were saying these two good books are good, but the other novel that he published last year was his best novel, but it's the third novel in a fantasy series. So I'm reading to catch up with that.
Okay.
So instead of me doing like one review of each book along the way.
Yeah.
We just fell behind in the reviews, so
yes.
I was like, well, let me just read that trilogy and then I can review it all in one go.
Yeah.
But that first book, The City of Last Chances, that's very Les Miserables, because it is about student uprisings and, you know, barricades in the streets and riots and student
some
riots.
Research he did for that.
Well, it's just he's just playing in that space sort of like, oh, what if fantasy but not just, you know, a great man, but also like, what if actual like popular uprisings and a popular uprising that wasn't that popular, so the students are just left out to dry and you're like, oh no, okay, whatever it's going to be. So yes, he brings in these other things. I've now got to the end of my notes and we're only 20 minutes in.
Yeah, it's meant to be a short.
It is meant to be a short. So do you want to give a rating to this book? What are you thinking?
I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was doing.
Yeah.
And so I think I would give it 4 stars.
Okay, I'll give it 4 stars as well.
Yeah, because there were some bits that, I mean, of course.
Well, the thing is, it's short, so it's difficult to review a novella like a novel and give it like a full rating because you're like, oh, well, it's not the thing that we normally review. So yeah, let's give it 4 stars. Other books which I've read recently, I'll just run through these and we'll see what the next review we want to do, is Inversions, which is by Ian and Banks, which I read for the SFBRP must reads list as well.
Yeah.
Also, The City of Last Chances, and I'm currently on The House of Open Wounds, which is the next Adrian Tchaikovsky fantasy novel in that series.
Okay.
The Quantum Magician, by Derek Kunsken, which is also one of the SFBRP must reads that I was rereading to see if it's on the list or not.
Right. I have not read that book. No,
you haven't read
it.
You haven't read it. But it's some good stuff in there.
Okay.
So it's a fun stuff in that book as well. And I do think it's good. So it's staying on the list.
Right.
I might do a review of it. Maybe I'll just record. Like, what I want to do is actually listen back to the previous review that I did of it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, like, do an updated review.
A response.
But I'll just do that. But I can just record that by myself.
Yeah.
Same with Inversions as well. I'll listen back to the review that we did when we did the culture novels read through.
Yeah.
And I'll do maybe a solo review of that.
Okay.
A new book which I've read, which is called A Time of Changes by Robert Silverberg. It's from the 1970s. I'm like, all right, here we go.
Nebula
Award-winning book from the 1970s. And I read it and I was like, I've never read this before. And I got like a third of the way and I was like, I've read this before. And so I did finish it. So I want to do a full episode about that at least. So
right.
So yeah, we'll get in the other books. Oh, I also started reading a book called The Quantum Thief because I downloaded it in Audible app thinking it was The Quantum Magician. I just got the name mixed up. So I started re-listening to that, but I'm probably not going to finish it because I only started listening to it by accident.
Right.
Because I had it downloaded by accident.
An accidental read.
Well, yeah, because The Quantum Magician is about a quantum thief.
Yeah.
And it should have been called The Quantum Thief, but the name was taken by a novel that came out like 3 years beforehand. So you're like, oh, I can't. This book should obviously be called The Quantum Thief, but it isn't. It's called The Quantum Magician. I'll do a full review of that.
Yes.
All right. That's it, really.
Yeah.
Oh, should we just have a quick look at Goodreads to see if anybody else has read this? Catherine gives it 5 stars. Diva Diana gives it 4. B, 4 stars. Mikhail Colondi rated it 4 stars, but he wrote in, is that Catalan?
I can't see that.
See the Spanish or something like that. Yeah, lots of 4 and 5 stars. Oh, and Colin Forbes gave it 3 stars. I've had mixed results with Adrian Tchaikovsky's short form works. And this was a bit of a mixed experience within the pages of one book.
I don't understand why people...
There were clever and fun ideas on show, for sure, but they felt a bit offset by the POV protagonist being an awful human being with few redeeming qualities, which really began to grate after a while. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It has to be short enough for you
then
not
you
to
get
be...
through it.
For the awful human being with few redeeming qualities. But that's the point. It's like, if you're going to do it, this is how you lose the time war. You've actually got to say, what are the redeeming qualities of these two people? Is it just that they can write love letters to each other well? Or is it that they're slaughtering millions of people and destroying the existences of people? And are so selfish that the only thing that they care about are themselves in this way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It looks like a lot of other people liked it, but for me, it started strong and failed to stick the landing. It definitely didn't. It hardly even had a landing by the time he gets the last page.
No, I totally understand why anybody would rate it 3 or lower.
Yeah, yeah.
It is not for everyone. But I think in the sense that this is how you lose the time war is also not for everyone.
No.
And so this is kind of like
that
scooping
all the
up,
awards.
This is kind of scooping up some people who might have been disappointed by that other book a bit.
Right then, let's wrap it up there. Thanks a lot for listening and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.